Well, greetings to everyone who's joining in on this podcast. This podcast is going to be going for about 10 weeks, and it will go the length of the book, My Soul Waits by Marva Dawn. If you're able to order that book from Amazon and have that as a resource, that is wonderful. But even if you don't, this book Bible study, I will help navigate through it with you. And this podcast is really meant to inspire, to help us reflect, but also to go a little bit deeper in looking into the Psalms and how our soul does indeed wait for God. And so these first several weeks, we'll be diving into particular psalms and then using the chapters as we go. I'll be using Marva Dawn's words, but adding stories and vignettes all along the way. And so we hope that you'll be inspired and fed by this. I will do a podcast every 3 days because, as we know, from Good Friday to Easter Sunday, a whole lot can happen in 3 days. Frankly, a whole lot can happen in 30 seconds or even 3 seconds. But I'm hopeful in between each of the 3 days, between listening to this podcast and then hearing the next, that you'll have time to deeply reflect and go further in asking those questions and mining the Psalms for yourself. And so today, I start with chapter 1. And the title of this chapter is, I'm Lonely, Lord, How Long? And this is from Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? A day after day and have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer me, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. A powerful psalm, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, must we wait? In these times in which we're living, I think a lot of people are feeling that. How long must we wait for this coronavirus to pass? How long before we can engage what seemed as normal in human relationship? When is it that we can get back to what we thought was full living? And what does it mean then to live in relationship with and for one another? How long, O Lord, before the whole world is restored? How long, O Lord, will it be before we can move beyond our fears and truly live in faith? How long, O Lord, in our life? You know, in Marva's words, she says that an overwhelming number of us are lonely, whether we're coming out of or maybe we're just beginning to go into something that feels that way. There are times in our life of rejection or crisis or fear or loss, and that would be considered normal. All of these things spin on around us. Sometimes we're lonely for a specific reason. Maybe a spouse has left us or one has died. Maybe our children have left the nest, gone from home, or moved across the country. Maybe we're fighting a particular battle against illness or against chemotherapy. Maybe we're new in a neighborhood, new to a church, new to a city. Or maybe our values are different from those who we relate to on a normal basis. Maybe we're searching, maybe we're looking. Where is it that I feel like I belong? Where is it that I have friends? And so how long is a lament that is often found in the scriptures? And it's a complaint that the scriptures intend to counteract. in our loneliness especially, we join the psalmist in asking God if God is going to forget us forever. Maybe you have said that in a prayer or two. In your deepest, darkest moment, God, have you forgotten me? God, have you abandoned me? God, have you stopped your ears to even hearing our prayers? Well, nothing is changing. We have been abandoned. It's a cry of the ages. How long, O Lord? Well, David, the writer of Psalm 13, is very gutsy and honest. He says that we are comforted to know that he too has struggled with the how long. He's honest, and he invites us to be real about our emotions too when we look at the words that he has written in the midst of his life struggles. And I think David also points to the fact that God already knows how we feel. And so we might as well not compound our problems by being dishonest about it. Just be real with our emotions, real with our thoughts, real with our pain and our suffering. And put words to that. Name it, claim it, own it, and raise it to God. David, the psalmist, continues throughout the psalms that he has written by asking how long he must continue to wrestle with his thoughts. Even if something out there maybe is getting brighter or better, the thoughts can still rest with us. And so for David in this Hebrew text, when it says, day after day, I sit in this thought, I wonder where you are, that day after day is all day and all night. There's this continue thought wrestling that I go through. And what am I to do with that? Well, then David, after all of that, and telling about the enemies that seem to lie in wait for him, he then speaks words of hope or words of trust. He says, I trust in your unfailing love. I trust in your unfailing love that even if I can't see it, even if I don't know it, it's there. And after all the discouragement of how long and all those questions, suddenly the psalmist is writing words of hope and victory. Is such a change really possible? And on what basis can we make such a turn away from the agonies of how long? Well, Marva shares this word with us, one of her favorite Hebrew words. And it's a word that is translated unfailing love, chesed, unfailing love. And this is from Psalm 13:5. This term describes the steadfast covenant love of the Lord, the amazing grace of God's infinite kindness and compassion toward us, God's people. This word answers the first and the second question of the psalm. The unfailing steadfastness of chesed tells us for sure that God has not forgotten us, not for a moment, not for one single moment, nor will God ever forget us. Well, chesed also answers the third, how long. The nature of chesed is that God will never, ever withdraw God's support from us. Ever. What does that look like? What does that feel like? How does that help us through the moments of, oh Lord, how long? Well, as long as we are depending on our own thoughts, I think the distress continues. But when we turn our face to God and when we count on God's loving support, God's abiding support for us, then we know that this loneliness or grief that we're carrying, it'll never be carried on our own. Because God is going to bring God's gifts of his love into our life. And when we finally let God be God for us and we participate with God willingly in this life, we then discover the joy that is even there in the midst of the harshest human experience. Marva writes that for years she was capitalizing the word joy to distinguish it from merely human happiness. She goes on to say that there are times when our circumstances make happiness impossible, but we can always experience profound joy when we are aware that in God's chesed, God is able to transform even the direst of human circumstance. And so we dare not be superficial about this and say, oh yes, God loves us, therefore we ought to be happy. Maybe you've heard that a time or two. But when others dump the gospel on us like that, it's not only that we are not comforted, but our guilt is compounded. Because we might believe falsely that Christians should be able to answer that by cranking up better feelings. But it's not about that at all. The essence of the matter is that we can't experience the truth of chesed and the reality of our feelings until we know it first as a fact of faith. We will still wonder how long, yet deep underneath we are convinced that ultimately chesed reigns because that is the way God has always dealt with God's people. The Lord, the promising I am, has always been faithful to us. And with that, we're able to rise up in faith, to go out and to give life our very best, knowing that God is there. And so do you remember times when you felt that you couldn't go on because this sense of loneliness, whether it was with people around you or even with God, that it was so devastating? Do you remember times that you felt like you just couldn't go on? But then just at the right time, God sent God's love in some personal way. Maybe a phone call. Maybe a letter from someone special. A good book or a card that brought chesed into your consciousness. Maybe a hymn verse or a Bible passage that reminded you of God's grace. You showed up to worship. And there it was, as if God was speaking just directly to you. Well, folks, the Hebrew language doesn't have a past, present, or future in its verbs as our English does. Its verbs indicate simply completed or uncompleted action. So when we say, my heart rejoices, what we're saying is there's a continual action going on. It's ongoing. It's everlasting. My heart rejoices. And that assurance that God's chesed will not fail us, that someday God will come through with deliverance, that enables us to rejoice even now in the midst of our hardship. In the midst of COVID-19, how do we hold on and live in joy? How can we live as though our heart is rejoicing, even in the midst of this deep, hard, and difficult struggle? No matter what, there's a deep awareness that God wants for each of us, that this Lord God will warrant our trust, that ultimately, yes, we will put our trust into God, even in the midst of how long. And so some questions for you for further meditation in these next 3 days as you go a little bit deeper and you allow God to speak and as you recognize that, yes, a lot can happen in 3 days between Good Friday and Easter Sunday where God is at work. Here's the questions. What kinds of experiences cause you to think that God maybe has forgotten you? What kind of experiences have you had that make you think that God maybe has forgotten you? Another question. When and how and why do you get futilely caught up in wrestling with your own thoughts and plans? Kind of like you're on a treadmill and you just keep stirring and you don't feel like there's any movement, that you're just stuck or running in place. When and how and why do you futilely get caught up in wrestling with your own thoughts and plans? Another question. Who or what are the enemies that frustrate your plans? Yes, take some time to name that. Who or what are the enemies that frustrate your plans? How are those stumbling blocks in the midst of your joy? The fourth question here. In what ways have you experienced God enabling you to triumph over those enemies? Can you name and claim some times in the past where you have overcome a difficult trial or temptation or suffering? And how did God help you through that? And then the last question for this time. What are some examples of God's chesed in action in your life? What are some examples right now of God's ongoing presence with you in your life right now? My soul waits. There's solace for the lonely, for the struggling in the Psalms. May you be blessed as you wrestle and as you seek God at work in your life. Until next time, live blessed. We'll talk soon.